Howdy, crew, and welcome to the Profundity Podcast, a podcast hosted by me, Andrew Ripple, a human who says words except for when he is so sick that he doesn't want to say any of them at all. And that was the version of me that existed this past week. Well, okay, this past week at the point in time in which I am recording this thingamajig, which is a little bit before the point in time in which you are listening to this thingamajig, and yeah, sick as a dog, I think I had the flu, is the assumption that I've been making in my own self-diagnosis, which is upsetting because the flu sucks, y'all. Ugh, it's gross. I mean, starting off just like, the key thing that is always the fascinating bit about getting sick and getting sick in a flu-y type way is how it just aggressively starts at one point and you go, you know, it just hits you over the span of like half an hour. I went from being like, yeah, totally fine, to just kill me now forever. And I'm done. I'm done with the life. That's the thing that I don't need anymore. I'm going to pour water so that I can be drinking the water whilst I am saying words, because my throat is still not in the greatest of moods, greatest of times, the best of times, worst of times, happiest moments. And once I get this all done, then we are ready to go. Yes, hi y'all. Listen to this lovely little pirate radio nonsense that is me and my shenanigans. But yeah. This is fun. I'm starting my last ever quarter of scholastic involvement here at this school in which I attend, and I am so super psyched and jazzed for it to be over. I had to apply to graduate yesterday. Well, I did it earlier in the week, but I had to do it by yesterday, and that was fun. That was a fun shenanigans to have that be done with. And so, yeah, I'm ostensibly on the list, assuming that like nothing else went bad. Although I found out on Monday that there was a form that needed to be filled out in order to get approval to make sure that like you can graduate with both a major and a minor, which is what I am doing. I'm majoring in a thing called symbolic systems, and I'm minoring in creative writing. And in order to be able to get both of those, you have to like have a form signed by both departments that will certify that like, yes, you are not double counting any of your classes, that none of your creative writing classes count for your crazy cognitive science thing, and vice versa, which is good. It was nice and easy because none could count. There's nothing even remotely that could overlap. So it was a nice, easy form of like, hey, look, here's the 6 courses I'm doing for creative writing. Here's everything else. Bye. Is this okay? And then it was. Everyone signed their things and all was well, and I turned it in. And although that's the scary thing of like turning it into a Dropbox and not having any idea of like, did it get received? Do I have confirmation that it's been received? I don't know. I hope that it's fine. Essentially, it's until next week is when that has to be turned in. So like, we're still okay. But spooky, scary. Werewolf bar mitzvah. I'm getting all geared up to do the graduation thing and move on to the real world. I still need to find a place to live in the Chicago, which is where I will be moving to in months, but I still need to find a place to live. And that's a whole thing to deal with. I will start this week actually like reaching out to people being like, yo, I'd be interested in that. Can we Skype and talk and meet and do the thing? But we'll see. I had to get a credit card too. That's a thing. Being an adult, I did taxes a couple weeks ago. That was a thing that adults, humans do, right? That's the life that is being led by a person that lives in the adult world. They have to do their taxes and have their credit cards and live in places. And all of those are things that I need to do as well. Who knows? I think this will be shorter. I don't know if I want to go for the full half hour because my throat still kind of hurts. Now, of course, whenever I say that it's not going to go for the full length, that usually means that it does, in fact, go for the full length. And I find myself reaching up against the very end of the time. And, you know. We'll see. I'll just play it by ear. I'll move on to my actual topic. Because, hey, this is one of those weeks where I actually have a topic planned ahead of time. And by planned ahead of time, I mean I thought about it like 10 seconds ago and started getting into it and thinking about it now. And so I have it pulled up right now. And this is the trailer, the trailer that came out this past week when I'm recording this, which means it'll be a week late for all of you guys, but whatever, who cares? A trailer for the first ever Star Wars, anthology or Star Wars Legends, or not Star Wars Legends, Star Wars Legends is the term they're using for the old expanded universe that used to be a thing in Star Wars. So in Star Wars, there used to be, especially in the eons and eons and years between when the first three Star Wars movies came out and then the prequels came out, and then also after the prequels when it was like, there's never going to be any more Star Wars, whatever. Lucasfilm did a very interesting thing where it would let artists write, or authors and artists write and create works that were part of the official expanded universe, is what it's called. And so these would be things that we're talking about, what happens in between the movies. Excuse me, what happens in between or after the movies, or what happens to characters we don't see, and all of that kind of cool shenanigans. And it created this whole big, big, cavernous, gigantic web of silliness and nonsense, because you have hundreds and hundreds of artists and writers that are writing about things in one contained universe, and things are going to get silly and contradictory and crazy and over time, whatever. When Disney bought Lucasfilm a couple of years ago, what they said they were going to do and starting to make their movies is that they are wiping all of those from the official Star Wars canon. So in the official history of Star Wars, all the expanded universe stuff did not necessarily happen. The only things that are going to be canon are things that Disney now says, yes, these things count for stuff. And so that meant the movies obviously were called canon, the TV shows were as well, so Clone Wars, Star Wars Rebels, I think some of the video games, but not all the video games. And so it was good. And then a lot of people were up in arms about that, but I was actually very pro that. I think, you know, hey, let's make a nice clean slate, let's start things over, let's get things to a sane base of operations to move forward from. And particularly because the cool thing that Disney did was then said, hey, you know what? But all this other stuff, we're not going to say, like, that is not allowed to be sold anymore, that doesn't exist, blah, blah, blah. We're going to say that's called Star Wars Legends. That's a whole other thing. It's a valuable thing that we are going to say exists and supports, but is not part of the actual story. And the reason why, of course, they're saying it is so that no one is allowed to get mad that something we do something in our movies that contradicts that. And I think that that's an important thing. Like, they needed to set themselves up to be in a place with the Star Wars movies to do whatever they wanted to make those movies as good as they possibly could be, and not feel like they were either bound to do everything in the expanded universe, or to ignore everything in the expanded universe, or right around the expanded universe. They got to say, you know what? Good work you guys all did, and now we're going to start over from scratch with our own heads. Reboot, essentially. And awesome. I think it was a good idea, and especially the fact that they were very respectful and saying, like, hey, no, you know what? We're going to respect that these exist, call them legends. It's their own separate thing. We don't want to dismiss any of the work that was done by the creators that created these. We don't want to dismiss any of the love that the fans that love them had for them, for those things. So, awesome. Cool. So, Star Wars Legends is that. Star Wars anthologies, I don't know exactly what it's called, I think there's a name for it, but there's also, in addition, and this is the thing I'm so excited about, is in addition to the actual Star Wars main trilogy that is going on of movies 7, 8, and 9 that are going to follow your Skywalkers and your Reys and your Finns and your Poes and all of that, there are also going to be other stories that exist in the periphery to that, and they will be standalone movies, or there might be other series and stuff like that, but they exist off of the real full feature-length movies that exist off the branch of the main Star Wars thread, which is awesome. And the first one of them is coming out this December, and we got a teaser trailer for it, and it's called Rogue One, and I am so unabashedly, unbelievably jazzed for it. I've been jazzed for it ever since it was announced, and seeing the trailer made it even more so. And the idea is, this is a standalone movie that takes place right before Episode 4, A New Hope, in Star Wars, about the stealing of the Death Star plans. Because, you know, that's what happens, is they manage to, that Princess Leia has the plans for the Death Star, hides them in R2-D2, and then they have to get to the Rebel base, and via Luke and Obi-Wan and all that, and stuff like that. How did she get them in the first place? Who stole them? And that's what this story is about. And it's so exciting, and the trailer came out, it's a 2-minute-long trailer, that, you know what? Here's what we'll do, I'll watch it right now, and have be up on my big screen, and we'll do a little, like, running commentary thing, and we'll see if that turns out terribly, which it might, who knows, whatever. But, okay, so we start the trailer off, we have her, so our main character is Felicity Jones, who's one of my favorite actors. I adore her, she's wonderful, not just because she's a phenomenal actor, she plays interesting characters, she brings a spark of interesting joy, whether she's being a super bubbly fun person, or whether she's being really intense and awesome badass, she can do it all, and she is cute as heck. And if they ever do a young Indiana Jones movie, or a Indiana Jones reboot, as opposed to the old Harrison Ford Indiana Jones movie that is coming out, which is also exciting, then she is the one that has to play young Marion in a movie that is like that, because, oh my god, it would be great. Oh my goodness, it would be great. Excuse me. I hope that didn't sound all that terrible. I'm sure it sounded partially terrible, but I hope it didn't sound entirely terrible. In case you haven't told, I also paused the trailer, so whatever. We're not going to do a full-on going through it. But anyway, yeah, young Felicity Jones as young Marion would be great. I thought, so I was talking with a friend of mine from high school. We were discussing who would be good, Marion and Indy, if they were doing another Indiana Jones movie. And Felicity Jones, we both agreed on as Marion. And we agreed on someone for Indiana Jones, but I don't remember who. I don't remember who we agreed on for it. I mean, as of right now, I would want to think like, okay, Oscar Isaac could be a really fun Indiana Jones, but like, that's just me plumbing the Star Wars well a little bit too much. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know who would be a good Indiana Jones of our actors that we have acting about at the moment. Regardless, Felicity Jones, perfect Marianne, full-on celebrity crush, wonderful. I adore her. She's talented actor. Talented actor. That's the most important bit. That's the most important bit to discuss. And this trailer has proven that in spades. But anyway, she's being led through in chains through a rebel base in shackle, not chains, but like space chains, led through in space chains, and she's being brought up, and she's being brought before Mon Mothma. Another, they managed to get a person that looks so much like a young version of old Mon Mothma from the Return of the Jedi. Felicity Jones is making some intense looks. She's being giving some side eye to crazy. And now she's fighting with a whole bunch of stormtroopers, and it's awesome, and it's badass, and there's an explosion, and she says it's a rebellion. I rebel. And with that, we know that we have a motherfucking badass on our thing, and she's gonna be intense. Then there's the crazy shot of Star Destroyers that is putting the laser focus beam thing on the Death Star, and we get to see just the scale of the Death Star in comparison to Star Destroyers, which is bonkers magoo. I love it. Star Destroyers, by the way, I think are my favorite Star Wars ship thing. I'm a huge fan of them. I was talking with a friend of mine about this trailer, and she was super excited about the fact that AT-ATs are in this trailer, which we'll get to in a minute, and saying, like, that's all I want. I want AT-ATs. AT-ATs are super cool. And I was like, yeah, that's kind of how I feel about Star Destroyers as well. And that's why I was so into the... not into the fact that there weren't any, like, real Star Destroyer-type things in The Force Awakens that were actually being used, because, like, the First Order pseudo-Star Destroyers are, like, they're not real Star Destroyers, come on, guys. That's one of the many ways in which the First Order did not improve upon the Empire. But that one shot, my favorite shots in the movie are the ones where we pan up and see the wrecked Star Destroyer out on the sand, and the whole chase, Millennium Falcon TIE fighter chase through the Star Destroyer fields is maybe my favorite sequence of the movie, ignoring the lightsaber fight on Starkiller Base at the very end, because that's really, really, really good. But that whole space, the fight flying, and it's just so cool, and it's so high tense, and it's great, it's well shot, and it's exciting, except for this one weird shot where they do like a crazy rack zoom thing, but meh, whatever. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Anyway, back to the trailer. This December, dun 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 dun, badass is walking through the thing, Ben Mendelsohn being creepy, looking a lot like Ian McKellen in his white thing, Forrest Whitaker coming on, we got a weird shadow trooper, we got more people in chains, we got more running. It's hard to talk about a trailer because the trailer moves so fast. We got Space Samurai doing Space Samurai stuff exploding, walking through things, talking in front of the Emperor, possibly explosions, and the AT-AT shot where people are serpentining to get away from the laser blast of an AT-AT while they're fighting on the ground. It's so cool. And then the coolest shot of the entire trailer is Felicity Jones. I'm gonna scroll back so I can watch it again. Felicity Jones as Jyn Erso, our main heroine, in a TIE fighter pilot outfit and staring to camera, and it's fucking the best. Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. This is probably atrociously bad for my throat, but it's a cool sound anyway, so I'm going to do it. Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. Dun dun dun. So I'm really excited about it. I'm excited about the idea that, like, this is the Star Wars world, and what's cool about it is it always felt like a big, full, realized world. And the more that we would only be talking about stories that followed along one thread and one path, and especially one family line path, the Skywalker family line path, the smaller the universe started to feel. That it was just like, oh, it's just about this story, and there's all this other stuff that exists in the imagination and in the mind, but it's like getting trimmed down by our focus on this one family. And doing things like Rogue One is awesome because it's actually telling a story that exists outside of this and is focused on just this one story and just this one tale. And it, like, it brings out examples. And what I'm hoping, my hope is, which I think is buoyed by the fact that Disney has done a good job with Marvel this way, is that what the Marvel movies do, and what I think there's a fear that the DC movies might not do, is that they realize that superhero movie is not a genre. There's no such thing as a genre of superhero movie. What superheroes are just a thing that works within other genres. And so by hearing that it's a superhero movie does not actually tell you anything about what the style of the movie will be necessarily, especially nowadays when there's just so much room to play within it. And so there's nothing inherently that would make you expect that Captain America 2, The Winter Soldier, is going to be anything like Guardians of the Galaxy, both movies that came out in the same year. They are both fundamentally wildly different genres of movie that both happen to have superheroes. One is a political spy movie, the other one is a crazy space opera action comedy, and it's you know, Ant-Man is much more of a comedy compared to Thor, which is much more of a, like, big dramatic operatic story, also not very good, whatever, versus even Captain America 1 and Captain America 2 are fundamentally different movies. It's a war movie versus a 70s spy thriller. So I wasn't kidding about that being bad for my voice. Bad for my throat. And so what I'm hoping is that there is also a realization that because it's Disney's probably going to keep making Star Wars movies for the rest of my natural life, what that means is that there is that realization that Star Wars is not a genre, that it you can have all these different things. Like, will we ever get to the point where we see a rom-com set in the Star Wars universe? Maybe not, but maybe yeah. And I'd be down to watch that. I'd be interested in that. There's an interesting comic series that I never have read, but always struck me as being very interesting and was something that I would thought about. It's like, oh, someone should do this, and it turns out someone did. I don't remember what it's called, but the premise behind it is it follows the police officers, I think it's called Gotham's Finest, might be, follows the police officers that work in Gotham City, where Batman is, and what is the job of a police officer in this crazy superhero time. There's also some comic series about, like, the janitors that are in charge of going around cleaning up after the Avengers blow shit up, and it's things like that I'm always interested in expanding the worlds and figuring out, like, what is the actual honest, natural human story that is told on the peripheries and on the fringes of these awesome, wonderful tales that we enjoy. And I think that's what we're getting with things like Rogue One, things with Star Wars. With Rogue One, we're going to get a full-on heist spy movie, is what I hope. And I hope it has the tonality, both a little bit of the Star Wars tone, which is cool, but also, like, has the genuine tonality of a intense spy thriller. And we'll see. We'll see. We'll find out. But regardless, you know it's going to have Felicity Jones being the fucking best is Jyn Erso. And there's also obnoxious people complaining about, like, oh, there's a female protagonist in another Star Wars movie. Why are you ruining it? First Rey, now Jyn, and why can't you? Well, there'll never be another one with a guy again. I'm like, that's my reaction to it. It's just, I can't even work up the energy to be mad about it, because I'm just like, guys, come on. Not only that, like, first of all, It's Daisy Ridley and Felicity Jones. You're saying you don't want to see them as your main characters? They're the best. Second of all, like, it's two. It's two out of lots. Whatever. Calm down. Meh. Ignoring, like, feminism and stuff like that. Just be like, numbers game. You still won. Which is interesting. It actually tangentially sort of relates to the reason why they're feeling that is, of course, because of, like, irrational things. It's not because they're actually thinking about things 100% rationally of, like, yeah, fine, we're good, we've got so-and-so out of so-and-so and blah, blah, blah. But so interesting, there was a study that was done of people in classrooms, I think, talking about how often people talk in classes and how different students of different genders talk in classes. And it was found that if women talk 50% of the time, if it's exactly split half and half, people feel like, people, both men and women, when they report they're asked to then report what percent of the time were women talking versus men talking. Everyone universally reported that women talked more than 50% of the time, that they were the majority of the conversation. And so they kept doing that at various different levels, and they found out the point at which women, it feels like to everyone in the room that it's equal, that it's half and half, is when it's about 30% women, 70% men. I might be getting those numbers a little bit off, but I think that's about the right point. But again, I'm remembering off the top of my head, so questionable about the specifics. Regardless, the key, interesting, fact about this was that that happened to match well with the proportion of how many men and women are, the proportion of women to men in extras, crowd scenes in films, so the question, of course, being like, okay, correlation, causation, where does this line draw? Is it because you watch movies and you see this proportion played out in film that becomes the proportion that you expect in other real life scenarios, maybe? Or is it that there's some other causation that makes the same reason you think that 30% women talking, 70% men talking is 50-50 is the same reason you feel like 30% women, 70% men in a crowd also feels 50-50. So who knows? But regardless, it's sort of showing that like I'd imagine that it's a similar sort of response is happening here of people feeling that two out of many feels more like it's more than the actual number actually is, emotionally. And that's sad, and that's upsetting, and that's disappointing, but it needs to be changed, and one way to change it is just to push forward and do it, and then that becomes the norm, hopefully, and, you know, along the way, we get Daisy Ridley, and we get Felicity Jones, which is great and awesome, and I'm super into it, and Jyn Erso is such a cool name. And people think that maybe she's Rey's mom, which I don't want to happen, but I also wouldn't mind if it happened at the same time. Whatever. I'm fine. Whatever. Rey's the best. Bye, y'all.